Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His word. The topic of this devotional is confronting shame. Our scripture is Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 through 19.
Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return."
We all have pieces of ourselves that we want to hide from others and from God. Sometimes we even subconsciously hide from ourselves, refusing to acknowledge things from the past or present that cause us to feel ashamed. Shame is what causes us to struggle with vulnerability. And the lack of vulnerability makes us feel isolated, paranoid, and alone. Statistics on loneliness today are pretty shocking. Levels of loneliness are rising, with 7 in 10 millennials and 8 in 10 Gen Zers reporting that they feel lonely. Less and less meaningful social interactions are happening, and I'd gather to think shame is playing a role in that. It's always been the tendency of humans to hide the negative parts of themselves from others, but in this age of social media, I think that tendency is getting even stronger. More and more, we're wanting to project perfect and curated images of who we are, hiding our struggles and imperfections, and thus missing out on truly being known. Shame causes us to conceal our battle with an addiction. It motivates us to hide our feelings of sadness and depression. It drives us to block out others from seeing our struggle with stress and anxiety at school or work. Because shame originated with sin, we can look to the Genesis account that deals with Adam and Eve's sin to find hope for our own shame. Sin entered the world when humans decided to be their own gods instead of trusting God. Because of the fall, we are now all born into a state of sin, with a natural inclination to want to be our own gods instead of trusting and submitting to God. And just as the state of sin was passed down from our original ancestors, so the effects of sin were passed down as well. The first effect of sin that Adam and Eve experience is shame. We are told that after they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve's eyes are opened and they know they are naked. They make fig leaves to try to cover themselves and they hide from God. When God seeks them out, Adam responds, "I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." What's going on here? Why are Adam and Eve suddenly wanting to cover up their nakedness? When the passage says Adam and Eve's eyes were opened, it means that they now know good and evil. Essentially, they've separated moral judgment from God and claim the authority to define morality for themselves. It seems Adam and Eve are realizing their insufficiency for this task. They are realizing their insufficiency to be their own gods. These feelings of insufficiency mixed with the guilt over disobeying make Adam and Eve feel vulnerable and scared of God's reaction, and they hide. Adam and Eve also want to hide their nakedness from God because of what nakedness represents. Nakedness previously had represented a state of innocence and integrity before God with nothing to hide. Now, Adam and Eve have sinned and lost that innocence and integrity. Being naked would feel like a shameful contradiction. They do have something to hide. Don't we experience the same type of shame in our own sin? We are less vulnerable with people around us because we don't want to deal with feelings of insufficiency or guilt. We believe lies such as, "I am the only one who struggles like this," or "I should be better than this." We hide from God as well because we don't want to have to confront the shame of our sin. If we do approach him, we often make a covering, like Adam and Eve did with fig leaves, by hiding behind good intentions, good works, or promises to be better. We are uncomfortable standing completely vulnerable before God because we don't want to experience the shame of not being enough. In summary, the shame that sin brought into the world has two major consequences: the loss of intimacy with others, and the loss of intimacy with God. In the passage, we see that God doesn't want Adam and Eve sitting in their shame, so he pursues them and lovingly asks them questions. After Adam and Eve have admitted their sin, God goes on to describe the consequences of sin for each of the parties involved. But in the section on consequences, we also see hope for our sin and shame. For Eve, God declares that she will have pain in childbirth and that her desire will be for her husband, but he will rule over her. For Adam, God declares that his work over the land will be cursed. It will be hard and frustrating. What we see here is that marriage and work are now affected by sin. To clarify, marriage and work are not causes of the fall. Before the fall, marriage existed, and it looked like a perfect complementary union. After the fall, marriage is still to exist as the exclusive and permanent union it was created to be. But now, strife will exist between the husband and wife. Husbands will struggle with not leading sacrificially, and they will oppress women. Women, on the other hand, will struggle with seeking to control and manipulate their husbands. Marriage will now be frustrating, just as work will often be frustrating and often unfulfilling. To the serpent, God proclaims a destiny of humiliation and defeat. He says that the serpent's offspring, and this is referring to spiritual offspring or people with an evil heart, will always be in conflict with the offspring of the woman, or people who follow God. But God is also referring to the reality of the serpent being at enmity with Jesus, an offspring of Eve who will come to earth years later. God says of this future offspring, "He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." This is where we see hope the serpent will bruise Jesus's heel, meaning that Jesus will suffer and die. But Jesus will have the final victory and crush the serpent's head. Jesus will raise from the dead and defeat death and evil once and for all, liberating us from our sin and shame. At the end of the episode, God makes Adam and Eve leave the Garden of Eden, and he stations angels called cherubim to guard the garden. Adam and Eve were essentially cut off from paradise. However, thousands of years later, when Jesus came to earth and died on the cross for our sins, something magnificently symbolic happened. In the Jewish temple, there was a veil embroidered with these angel cherubims that guarded the room where God's holy presence dwelled. When Jesus died, this veil was torn in half. In this symbolic act, we see that Jesus's death is what made a way for us to enter back into God's presence and to live in paradise with him forever. Grace that comes through faith in Jesus means that we don't have to hide bad parts of ourselves from God. The veil has been torn, and we can enter God's presence in confidence. Jesus has paid for all our sin, and his love is not conditional upon our goodness. This means that in your pride, in your anger, in your addiction, in your struggle with alcohol or your eating disorder, you can come to Jesus. Your struggle with sin is not a reason to hide, but a reason to praise God all the more for his grace. This grace also frees us to be vulnerable with others, because our identity is not in our mistakes, but in Christ. We are covered by his blood and made completely clean in him. In Christ, there is no place for shame. Let's pray. God, thank you for sending Jesus to be the remedy for sin so that I can be in a relationship with you. As I continue to struggle and sin, help me to be vulnerable with you, bringing my sin before you so that I can experience forgiveness and restoration. Help me also to be vulnerable with others, experiencing deep and transparent relationships. Continue to rid the shame from my heart so that I can live more and more freely in Christ. Amen. As you listen to the worship song, take some time to reflect. Identify an area in your life where you often feel shame. In other words, in what ways do you feel like you're not enough or like you're not measuring up? Bring this to God in prayer, remembering that his grace covers everything. Who can you share this with that will help you with biblical truth and encouragement?
I am hurting. Why is this happening to me? I am hurting. Can you hear me? Will you hide yourself from me? I am hurting. Help me to believe. Jesus. I had heard about you, but now I see you. What can separate me from the love of Jesus? I had heard about you, but now I see.